Welcome to the Round 23 Supercoach Coach Podcast, or the Grand Final Podcast for Season 2017. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. We made it to the end.
Certainly have, mate. And we'd normally comment about it getting to be a bit of a drag by this stage of the season, but we still have more than a couple thousand listening each week, and our league rankings are absolutely killing it. So a bit of a more upbeat energy than maybe some of the previous season review shows where we're sort of clinging on to the end and just being pipped at the post.
The league factor, having the top 12 leagues overall is definitely helping with the motivation. Well done to the community.
And, of course, we're joined with our regular guest of the show, Faz. Welcome back, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot, gents. Lovely to be back for the final show of the season.
So before we do get into the show, I just want to start off by saying a massive thank you to our community. It's been 29 episodes for the season, close to 30. Probably 30 by the time we will do a season review show sometime during the final series. So it'll be 30 all up. Thank you very much for joining us throughout the season. And for those of you who are still listening in round 23, congrats. Your team mustn't be doing too poorly, and very heartfelt. Thanks. We certainly do the show because of the good feels from the community and being able to help out our community and watch you guys sort of achieve great results in Supercoach and to help us think about Supercoach a little bit more deeply. So, you know, before we do get into the show, I do want to say a heartfelt thanks for everyone in the Supercoach Coach community. And, you know, a special thanks to those of you who ask us questions on social media, send us messages of support, and those of you who are on our forums. Just being able to see the interaction between our community and getting more touch points to the community is a little bit better. We're a podcast, and sometimes we can feel a little bit sort of removed from our audience. So it's great when we get our community reaching out to us. So we very, very much appreciate you all, especially those of you who get in touch with us a little bit more. And for those of you who are silent listeners, we certainly hope, you know, you give us a bit of a shout out or post a question here or there moving forward. And a special shout out to our Patreons. So this year, our numbers in terms of Patreons almost doubled. So a massive thanks to our Patreons. We delivered a little bit of extra content this year, especially throughout the buys. And we sorted out a little bit of merch to say thanks as well. So I think we've done our bit to sort of make supporting us a little bit more attractive. And we certainly appreciate that. We've got a warm response to that. And I think the fact that the top Supercoach league in terms of an 18-man league is the Supercoach Coach Patreons at the moment, Mark. And we've been vying for that title for a very long time. For the Patreons to represent us in that way and be sitting at the top of the league ladder is testament, we hope, to our advice, but definitely to you, to our Patreons as well, the commitment that you show and the hunger for knowledge. So, yeah, big shout out. Mark, do you have anything to add on that?
Not really, mate. I think that you've said that really well, and just the feedback that we get from the community and the fact that people are consistently asking questions on social media really drives the show. So massive thanks to everyone that's helped out over the course of the year.
And of course, a special thanks to all our guests who've come on throughout the year. So Kefa, Jack, Dunny, and of course yourself, Faz, as well. Coming on to bring some brevity as well between Mark and I.
It's an absolute pleasure, and I'll accept that on behalf of the other lads. We're just all happy to be here, I think.
So we'll move on now to the round update. We'll start off with talking about our teams. It was a high-scoring round, so I'm expecting, well, sort of smiles here. I actually don't know how each of you went, so I'm interested to hear. Mark, why don't you kick us off, mate? You've been sort of stealing the show in the late half of the season, so I'm guessing you pipped us.
Yeah, about bloody time, mate. I didn't pip you this week, I don't think, mate. I think you caught up a little bit. I scored 25-40, which wasn't sensational. I had a couple of small issues, like Bontempelli was probably the biggest one. But then a lot of things went well, like, for everyone. I mean, Josh Kelly, in two games in my side, scored over 130 both times, which is pretty awesome. And just, like, Paddy Ryder, McRae, Yo. So, lots of good things happened. I am about 230 points ahead of you. So that looks like I should have that wrapped up. Things would have to go extraordinarily badly since we have very similar teams, mate. And somehow, because of my dead bench, like, I just don't have really a way of generating cash from my bench. I actually have two trades left and no obvious way to use them this week. So I've sort of just ended up with two extra ones.
Faz, how about yourself, mate? How'd you go?
It's definitely a lot better than the recent history. I scored 24-23, which sounds like was a bit off the pace. And that's probably really a story of my team since the byes. I've had a look at my overall ranking, and I think there's only been 1 week since the byes that I haven't slipped in ranking, unfortunately. And there haven't been massive drops. It's just sort of steadily been dropping away. So puts me sort of right on the fringe of even the top 10,000 at the moment. I'm at 8,800. And it doesn't feel like the team's just been woefully inadequate. It's just sort of a few top-notch premiums off the pace of everyone that's doing better than me this year. Sort of a bit more of the same, not quite up to pace.
So I think I led for the week 2,577, which I'm reasonably happy with. I made a trade that I didn't end up sort of cashing in on. So I traded Lynch out to Merritt. I had Merritt on the bench as my seventh premium midfielder. He scored 92, so I decided to give Rockcliffe a whirl, and he scored 76 instead. So not brilliant there, but probably should have cashed in on the 16 points that was on offer with Merritt. But I was hoping for a little bit better. He was quite cheap. Essendon had two easy opponents, relatively easy for top eight contenders, and they need to score big to make it into the top eight. So I was hoping that Merritt would score big, but alas, he did not. I'm happy I didn't trade in Cruiser as discussed. I saw that Ivan Soldo was out, and so made the decision not to trade out Nankervis and to play him on field, which was risky but correct. Nankervis scored 112, and I would have upgraded for negative 20 points and being down like 200k if I traded to Cruiser. So that was the right decision, although my trade-in option Merritt didn't pan out. Zorko at least scored 115 from last week, but Kelly scored 140. So if I traded in Kelly last week, I would have been laughing. Nonetheless, I still have two trades, 150k, a spare premium, midfielder on bench. My team is super stacked. I probably held on too long in terms of sort of upgrading this season, and yeah, stuck with a bit too much fat on field at the end of the year. But, you know, if we had another couple of injuries, maybe I would have overtaken the lot. So it's hard to say that's, too wrong.
It's a weird season. Like four of my last five trades that I've used have been to upgrade Heath Shaw and Rockcliffe. So I've already been upgrading on-field positions, people that were supposed to be premiums, and still ended up with two extra trades. I don't remember a situation like that happening before.
And I think even though I was kind of tentative and nervous about calling it early on in the season, but to start the season, I did say based on the starting picks we had available, I've never been more comfortable in terms of the value on offer. And it looked for a while like the rookies were stalling. But some of the mid prices, especially, we went with the cheap rucks as quite sort of heavily as a community, really panned out for us. And we ended up with an embarrassment of riches, and the injuries weren't laid on as thick and fast to key sort of players as they were in previous seasons. So very interesting season. It's hard to take too many sort of lessons from that moving forward, because things can change season to season in terms of injuries and mid prices and that. So you kind of have to be flexible, take a line and just go hard, but can't be too upset considering, Mark, you're sitting in the top 1,000 and I'm in the 1,500 and I have given up 250 points for just stuffing up emergencies this year. So
stop putting that asterisk on.
So, I could be in front of Mark, by the way, guys. and heaps of trades. So anyway, I couldn't help myself, Mark. Nonetheless, our league rankings are absolutely smashing it this year. So that'll be enough to see me, even if this was our last Supercoach Coach show forever. I think the fact that it took us 9 seasons I don't want to jinx it, but to take out the league title. Mate, we've been waiting for this for a long, long time. So let's get into our league update. Mark, as you mentioned at the top of the show, and sort of spoiling this reveal now, we have all of the top 12 leagues, including 15 of, sorry, another 3 in the next 5. So we have 15 of the top 20. That is absolutely unprecedented. I think we've had 7 of the top 10 before, but to have all of the top 12 and another 3 in the top 20 is unbloody believable. And it is absolutely testament to our community out there. And the fact that over the years, we have sort of, I think the crew that sort of are on board with us are very dedicated super coaches and definitely have learnt tips and tricks along the way and have developed into great super coaches. And we're seeing the results of that. And we also have Supercoach Coach number 1, Supercoach Coach number 3, Supercoach Coach number 2, and Supercoach Coach number 6. So those are all our ranked leagues sitting in the top 20. That is massive, absolutely massive, because These are public leagues. You know, we don't retain a serious history of rankings. It's fairly honor-based system. Blokes have just come onto the forum, said what they got last year and joined up into a league. And the fact that we have such a high representation, and we have plenty more in the top 100, it is still stacked with Supercoach leagues, really speaks to the quality of the community. So, I know we've sort of gone on about this for quite a few minutes now for this podcast, but really a big pat on the back to all you listeners and a massive well done.
I think maybe some of our listeners aren't quite aware of how many hard luck stories we've had over the last few years. I think we've been leading with a round to go probably four times and lost in the last round. I think we've finished second at least five times over the last six or 7 years.
More, mate. We've been bridesmaids most of the time.
I think we've had three of the top five leagues at the end of the year before. There's just been something crazy happening in the last week every year. This year, it doesn't really seem like that's going to be possible to happen. The difference is just far too much. We're talking like...
It's about 5,000 points.
Yeah.
Which is just not possible to make up in a round, I wouldn't think.
Her brew crew haven't been structuring their whole season around round 23 matchups.
Yeah. Yeah, well done all around. So enough on that. Let's not wax lyrical any longer than we have already, which has been quite long, but 9 years in the making. And on the season review show, we're going to crack even more beers. Faz and I are a couple beers deep, and we've got an 18-year-old scotch on the go. So we are very much in celebration mode. All right, to a quick group update. The top score for our group scored a massive 27.08. That's Brendan's Gallimorphy's Greats, and that pushed Brendan up into the top 15,000. So, Brendan, please reach out to us via our social media pipes with your address, and we will send you out a Supercoach Coach stubby holder for leading our Supercoach Coach group for the round.
Just so you are aware, Marcus, you haven't hooked me up with any merch yet.
We have a postseason catch-up, mate, and you'll be getting plenty of merch, Mark. I've been walking around with a Supercoach Coach cap, so trying to do what I can to spread the name. Kyle's Tyrannosaurus Tex is still hanging in at third. He scored 25-37, so we'll wish Kyle all the best for hanging in there and staying in a cash finish. And Paul's PK's Benchwarmers, a shout-out to you as well, mate. You are sitting in the top 10 overall, so that's massive. We've got three other blokes sitting in the top 100, including our vet, Dr. Bone, so congrats to all you as well.
And happy Raccoon sitting in the 35th, mate, from the forums.
Fantastic. Alrighty, so to the show. We've got the grand final show coming up. We've only got about three or four questions, so to be honest, we'll go through it pretty quickly. I don't think a huge amount of us have trades, especially after last week's sort of late injury carnage.
Only idiots like me and you, Marcus.
Yeah, yep. Nonetheless, we'll go through the questions that we do have, and then we'll do a quick season review. But before we get to that, the questions for the week. So the first one here is from Scott Warwick. Any advice with Hurley out and Adams, maybe an out with a concussion? So both backline plays. And I think that's a good place to start. Backline replacements. Season average, to an extent, doesn't matter when you're looking literally at a one game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think opposition counts for a whole bunch this week, whether you're playing home and away, whether you still got something on the line, if you're playing for finals or you're already knocked out, or maybe you're still vying for the wooden spoon for the number one draft pick. Thoughts on best backline replacements and even almost PODs at this stage of the season?
Yeah, I think that I don't mind Batchahooly as a POD. As soon as he had that big block out, had a huge game on the weekend, got absolutely plenty of the pill. And maybe Jeremy Howe against the D's. Didn't have a big weekend this week, but has been in decent form of late.
Yeah, so with the two blokes that we're talking about, Taylor Adams and Hurley, yeah, cash really won't be an option because I think they're two of the sort of most expensive defenders that are still in the comp. So, yeah, as you've said, cash not an option. I'm just going to throw a name out there, and I think it's probably not a great pick, but I reckon Cale Hooker could be in for a big week because, as you said, Bombers need to win, and we need to sort of win big to get a bit of insurance over West Coast. And we're playing against Frio, who have just given up 200-point defeats in the last 2 weeks. So if that's any indication to go off of, then I feel like they might have sort of given up on the season a little bit. And if that's the case, then... Yeah, I feel like Cale, he seems to have that ability. He'll either kick sort of, you know, 0 goals 5 or he'll kick, you know, 5 goals 0. So if you get him on the right week, he could be a big difference maker.
I am going to go very left wing here and...
More left wing than Hooker.
Wow. This is a bit of an emotional pick as well, but this is the last opportunity that we have to pick Hodge. Luke Bloody Hodge, super coach, a legend, and just all-around champ. I mean, this bloke, I'm going to miss watching him run out on field. So there's a few reasons to pick him. $430,000 is his price point. He's only in 4,700 teams. And he also plays against the Bulldogs this week, who are not only out of the finals now, so they have less motivation potentially, but they also are either the worst or second worst team in terms of giving up scores to opposition defenders in recent weeks, behind potentially only Gold Coast. So enough ticks for me to potentially take a chance on Luke Hodge for the last chance ever. He scored 109 in round 21. Rounds 18 to 19, he scored 90 plus. Last week was a little bit of a downturn in 52, but you know, four of his last five games above 90, that's not too bad. And your last chance ever to pick Luke Hodge. Come on, guys, get on board. Not tempted at all, Mark? Yep.
Look, that's a big call. It's a huge gamble. I think Hooker's probably a bit more of a gamble than Hodgie. Look, I'm going to, especially if you're trading out Adams or Hurley and you've got plenty of cash, I'm going to go for someone a bit younger, a bit more reliable, a bit more form on the board.
Sentimental feelings for Mark when it comes to Supercoach?
This is Supercoach, mate. You can take this seriously or not?
That's right, yeah.
No,
I like it.
All right. I saw one of our listeners give advice on Zach Tui as well. Zach Tui plays well at home. We are playing at home. We're playing against GWS, who are going to be pushing it into our back line. And Tui has actually done really well for us over the last 5 weeks, Mark. Four of his last five above 100. So that's been pretty good.
I definitely noticed that, mate, because I traded Heath Shaw out instead of Tui, and it's turned out to be a great decision. Mm-hmm. So definitely been following that one pretty closely. And although his record is not like insanely better at skilled, it is better at skilled. It's just that like he has had a 76 there this year and a few scores below 100. So, and against the Giants, I would be a little bit worried.
Let's move on to the next question here. This one's from Dom Dunn. There's one trade left and he wants to go rogue and look for a massive point of difference.
So I'm going to give away a crazy left field selection, a midfielder who is playing a home game against North, someone that we've had pretty bad experiences with, Marcus, and that is Daniel Rich. I know, 500,000 as a midfielder. He is playing against North. He has had two scores over 120 in his last four games, the others being 84 and 94. Yeah, if you're going to go balls out and go for a real left field selection, he's as good as any.
Yeah, but, you know, if we're going left field, I only have to have him in my team for one round. I also want it to be a guy that I enjoy. And Daniel Rich has caused me to rip out more than enough hair last year, so I'll pass on that. Thanks, Mark. Faz, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to give a bloke a shout-out here. I think that he probably – I don't think he's got much recognition this season, but I've just seen here Mitch Duncan, who's in 3,500 teams, he has actually amassed an average of 109 this season. So he's placed 13th amongst all of the players in the whole comp. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, in only 3,500 teams, that's a pretty unique selection there. I think that Geelong probably need a bit more midfield help with Selwood out this week, so – if he can get a few of Dangerfield's clearances fed his way, and yeah, I think he could be a pretty nice pickup in the midfield, and you'll have to be incredibly unlucky to come up against an opponent who also has Mitch Duncan in their team in the grand final. So Mitch is my pick for the POD this week.
Could go big.
Yeah, I know this guy's not a POD, but I do want to give him a shout out. Patrick Ryder. He's scored above 100 eight times in the last 10 rounds. He's started to really move into quite a few teams now. So he's in 67,000 teams. But if you don't have him...
Oh, yeah, that's a real pod, mate. You've really gone out on all in there.
Yeah, but if you don't have he's a sure thing, Mark. A sure thing this week. When he's hit 100, he's mostly hit 110 plus, if not 120 plus recently. And they're playing against Gold Coast, who are absolutely bleeding points at the moment in the ruck division. Yeah. So I know he's not quite a pod. I agree with that. But you can trade him in the rucks and the forwards. So he deserves a little bit of a shout out. I'm sorry I cut you off, but he's worth mentioning. And we've pumped him up now for a couple of shows. I think he might even have moved into the top averaging forward or close to it by the end of the season. Yeah. Gary Ablett. If he actually gets named this week, could potentially be retiring too. You know, another emotional pick here. I doubt he will be, because it'd be sad for the competition if that was the case. But rumours are that he's apparently selling his house. He's moving out of Gold Coast, whether he gets a trade request fulfilled or not. That's another story. But if he does play this week, Port Adelaide leak points to the midfield, and I think Gary Ablett, in potentially his last showing for the Gold Coast Suns, could really turn it on. And considering he's been injured most of the last few weeks, he's definitely a POD. And Cruiser, I know he's not quite a POD, but he's only in 25,000 teams, so not a massive amount, only in 10% of teams. He's 570,000, so a little bit difficult to maneuver, but he's been one of the form players of the competition in recent weeks. And they play against Sydney, who have been suffering in the ruck division so far this year. So I know he had a quiet one last week, but Mark, you did flag that last week, that Hawks were pretty notorious with being quite stingy with opposition ruckmen. So 89 isn't an absolutely terrible score, but against Sydney, he should have an absolute field day. So he'd be another call out, even though he's not a massive POD. All right, let's move on to the next question. This one's from Alexander Hua. Is it finally safe to admit that this season was the official handing over of the torch from the old Supercoach veterans to the young comers? Where Pendles, Gaz, Goldie, Rocky, Sean, etc. all used to be locks and dependable and dropping out. Yeah. Now we've got Dusty, Kelly, Doherty, Cruiser, Crouch, Oliver. We've been flagging this for a couple of seasons now, Mark. But this year definitely seems to be a consolidation on last year, and the spate of retirements this year too definitely speaks to that. And Alex, I'm pretty much in agreement with you, mate. Any thoughts from you two?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing like some of the guns, Supercoach guns like Hodgie and Riewoldt retiring. I think that is a sign, like you said, of the changing of the guard. I think that some of these guys are not completely gone. Rockliffe's still pretty young. Goldie is about 28, 29, I think. So, but I will be looking probably to pick more of these young guys next year. I don't think I'll quite go quite as young as like a second year player like Oliver. Like his season is just something we haven't seen before, and one completely out of the books to get 110 average in your second season, just keep pumping out massive scores, massive effort from him. And so, but yeah, I think that there is a bit of a changing of the guard. I'm not sure that Cruiser's necessarily part of that because he is a bit older, but yeah, it's been, it will mean that we have different looking teams going into next year, I think.
Which is exciting, to be honest. It's nice to be able to pick different players.
Yeah, it is, and it's nice to be able to barrack for different players, and it always happens. Like, there was a generation before Ablett and Selwood and Rockliffe and Shaw that we used to pick.
All right, so moving on to some of the topics that I've generated to wrap up the season with. Let's go through a player of the season and a trade of the season. Faz, player of the season for yourself?
Yep, so this is a bloke that I haven't had in my team all year and have just been looking on wistfully, wishing I'd had the... I don't even know what it was that made me not pick him at the start of the year, but that's Tom Mitchell. Just been such a consistent year from the little fella after moving across from Sydney. He has, I think he's, is it still just two scores below 100 for the whole year?
85 and 98, not
exactly.
Poor at all.
They're barely even scraping below 100 for those options.
Scores above 150.
Yeah, just an amazingly consistent season, and a guy that you could go to the footy and sort of even miss that he was playing the game sometimes. I feel like he doesn't, you know, blow games apart the way that Dusty and Danger do, but just gets the job done on a Supercoach front. And yeah, as was often discussed throughout the podcast this year, Mitchell wasn't really the guy that you'd have as first in line for a captaincy bid because he just didn't sort of go huge enough. But having a guy in your team that you can just sort of basically bank on and depend that you know, you sort of bank it at the start of the week. You know, you're going to have 110, 120 from Titch, and that's pretty important to have enough of those guys in your team, and then you can sort of start to take a few more risks elsewhere. So Tom Mitchell is player of the season for me.
Yeah, he's mine too, mate.
Yeah.
I picked him, and he was my last pick primo midfielder, and I'm glad I ended on him. I remember before the buys, we were looking at sort of top five picks for the end of the season, and he barely sneaked into my top five. And I don't think when on that show, I was the only one to put him in the top five, just because you're right. You barely notice him, but I put him in there because I thought his downside is so low that he's going to get there in terms of a top eight mid by the end of the season, just because his downside is that low. And in the second half of the season, he pumped out six games above 120, including a 161 and second highest averaging play for the season. So an absolutely dominating start to his career at Hawthorn. And a big reason why I've done well so far this season is Tom Mitchell. So I absolutely echo your sentiments there. Tom Mitchell is my player of the season. Mark?
The worst part about the Mitchell thing is that he was in my side for almost all of the preseason, and I'm almost certain you only picked him because I was talking him up, and then I didn't start him and I started Rocky instead. So that burnt me a little bit all season. It's just gotten worse as the season's gone on. My player of the season is it's a combination. So it's who do I think has had the biggest impact on my season so far? And I think that a huge impact over our leagues, and one thing we did in the preseason, was we were very strong on Taylor Adams and Doherty being in sides, and having them two has had a huge impact on teams. And the other part that we were really strong on in the end was Witts and Sandilands, and having Witts as that ruck, and I think my team struggled in a lot of areas, but that really gave me the edge to stay up the top and compete with some of the other teams. So, I mean, I miss players like Mark Murphy and Clayton Oliver, but I think that, yeah, Witts was probably such a key selection this year that he gets my player of the season.
Yeah, good call, mate. I think that is really season-defining for our community as a whole. We really doubled down on that risk, and we were a little bit tentative about giving that out, Mark, but once we decided to, we went pretty hard in disseminating that. We made it pretty completely clear that that was the way that both of us were going to go in the season and we're glad that our community's got to reap the rewards and it's panned out, because there's been times where that's backfired on us, Mark.
Daniel Rich.
Let's not talk about that. All right, next topic, trade of the season. Faz, why don't you start us off again, mate?
Yeah, well, as I was discussing in the pre-show, I had 29 options here, still got one trade in the bank, and I wasn't liking many of them. but what I have ended up going with was the move from Treloar to Dusty that I made back in round 8. Got on Dusty at 519,000. And I know Treloar did turn things around a little bit.
That's a great trade. You bought Ryder on at the bottom, yeah, and you cashed Treloar out and sort of persisting with him as a dud primo midfielder. Absolute golden trade there. If I had that, that'd be my trade for the season, mate. So well done. Huge.
Mark, have you singled one out that was your trade of the year?
Look, it's interesting going back through a lot of my trades that there was not a lot of trades that really stood out. Taking Parsons over Black all those weeks ago seemed to make a fair bit of a difference, especially because Parsons, he scored a 90 when I actually needed him on field one week. Bringing in Michael Hibbert has been huge. He's averaged 101 for the season, which is a massive effort for a defender, and to get him under 450,000 has actually proved very important. And two late-season trades. One was Goldstein to Dusty in round 18. That's really helped my momentum late in the year. And bring in Josh Kelly 2 weeks ago has also been pretty good for my team.
Yeah, my starting team was bloody fantastic. I was in the top 50 at one stage, and I just made turd trades throughout the season. So it was actually pretty difficult to look for a trade, but there was one standout, and it was by far the best trade this season, by a bloody country mile. And that was Caleb Marchback to Patrick Ryder. Did a massive swap, so I think from the back line to the midfield to the forward to the rucks in order to manufacture that trade. But pretty sure I got Marchbank out about at his peak, and I brought Ryder in right at the bottom of his cycle, brought him in buy free. And at that stage, that was a gamble because Ryder's start to the season was very, very shaky. He was not in the top six average rucks, but he's come home with an absolute wet sail. I talked him up previously in terms of PODs for the run home, just because that's the form he's been in. He is, over the second half of the season, the standout forward. And the fact that I got him buy free after round 9 makes him by far and away the best trade of my season.
It's interesting that I think Dusty about round 9 and Ryder after his buy were almost two of the best trades that you could make this season, and you guys seem to have been on them.
Too bad the rest of my trades were turned. That sounds like yours too. Whereas Mark, you had small wins all the way through. That seems to have worked well for you. All right, let's move on to the final captain's corner for season 2017. Mark, who are you looking at for the week?
Look, I've got it pretty sorted now, I think. Danger into Dusty, and that seems to be a good way to have done it all year.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mark, I don't think I have any donuts playing after Dangerfield. I've kept a fairly injury-free.
Don't you still have Strenodica?
No, I have Darcy Cameron.
He plays on Sunday.
Yeah, he plays on, Darcy Cameron plays on Saturday. So, yeah, no luck for me. So, I'm going to be looking for a bloke who can really score big. Perhaps Heaney against Carlton or Dane Zorko against North Melbourne. We had a hot tip. One of the tweets, few tweets that we did get for the show this week was a Brisbane Lions fan sort of saying Zorko for VC this week, lock it in. So, might be tempted by that.
In the spoon bowl is your pick.
Yeah. Mitchell scored a 161 last week, even though I thought he was more of a captaincy pick against the Western Bulldogs. I might chance him. But to be honest, I think I'm most likely to go with Zorko as a VC and Danger as a captaincy for myself. Faz?
Well, I'm a Strenodica owner, so I think I'm just going to be following along with Mark's pick there and go Danger into Dusty. That seems like a pretty roll gold option.
Awesome. All right. And so with that, that wraps up the regular season shows for season 2017. We will be coming back at some stage during the final series for our season review show. And I don't want to call it early, but I totally do. We are definitely going to win the league prize, so we'll be in great spirits. And you'll want to join us for that one. Another massive shout out to our Patreons. Again, we don't say it flippantly, but our lives have really changed over the 9 years that we've been doing this show. And honestly, we couldn't have done it the last 2 years without the Patreon. So we really, really do appreciate that. And I do want to say another heartfelt thanks to all the patrons, for keeping us going, because we've been running at a loss, and to at least cover our costs and give us a little bit extra. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's it for the week. Mark, do you have any final messages for our listeners?
Me and Fads will be praying pretty hard on Sunday that the Bombers win and get through to the finals, which would be pretty awesome after what we've been through. But good luck for everyone that's made the grand finals this week. And, yeah, hopefully we have some success.
Faz, any last notes for our listeners for season 2017?
Yeah, well, if Ross the Boss is out there listening, I just encourage him to keep up with his plan of resting his players in the final round of the season. No need to bring Fife and Neil over for the last round. Ice it up and you know, get ready for the AFL, what is it, AFLX or whatever's happening in that round between the season and the finals. And yeah, just like to thank you both for having me on throughout the season, and thanks to all the listeners for putting up with my sometimes, well, I wouldn't say sometimes, most of the time shoddy advice, but it's been a joy. And yeah, very much looking forward to catching up for the season review in a few weeks' time.
Awesome. Thank you very much again, and we'll catch you all for the season review. See ya.
Bye.
See ya.